I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. After decades of youth tobacco use on the decline here in the United States, numbers are back on the rise, thanks in part to things like e-cigarettes and vaping. Dr. Bonnie Halpern-Felsher is a developmental psychologist as well as a professor of pediatrics at Stanford. And Corey Serber is director of advocacy for St. Alphonsus Hospital. They are both joining me in studio to talk more about this. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
So you are one of the premier experts, Dr. Felsher, about this issue. First, tell me why we're seeing a rise, because this is shocking.
It is shocking. Over the last year, we've seen a dramatic increase in middle and high school students' use of vaping or electronic cigarette products, where now we're seeing about 1 in 5 high school students and about 1 in 20 middle school students. So we're really back to numbers, if not higher than numbers, than when we saw with cigarettes.
So what happened? What went wrong?
Well, I think that we weren't prepared for an onslaught of new products. We weren't prepared for these electronic cigarettes, and we certainly weren't prepared for how cool they were going to look to youth. We weren't prepared for the marketing, and then in particular also the flavors. They come in so many cool flavors and gadgets that we weren't prepared. And then you get Juuls, which is one form of vapes, to come on the market the last couple of years. And those are very flashy, very cool to young people. And they also did some very even though they say they didn't, they did some youth-targeted marketing that's very cool.
Because when we look at just a traditional cigarette, I mean, I've got younger kiddos. I have an almost middle schooler. And if they see, we were watching a movie, we were watching Apollo 13 over the weekend, and it was set, you know, back in the 60s, right? And my 7-year-old was like, stop smoking. I mean, yelling at the television, because they know, they correlate a cigarette with something that's not healthy. That's a good point you make, though, about the fact that this is a new product.
It is a new product. And you're absolutely right. We actually did studies looking at 2004 versus 2014, same demographic of youth in California, who now consider cigarettes to be awful. They know that they're harmful, and they really have no intention to use them. But this is a new product. In fact, part of why we think the term vaping came about as opposed to electronic cigarettes is the industry didn't want the term cigarettes attached to these new products. So it's very convenient. And they're not vapes. They're aerosols. But it's very convenient to make them sound like they're very different. And that has been part of the problem.
So, Corey, I want to bring you into the conversation, and let's bring it down to Idaho and what we're seeing here in Idaho. Are our numbers on the rise?
Yes. Yes, our numbers have been dramatically on the rise in Idaho as well. And it's very concerning. And I think the points that Dr. Halpern-Felsher brings up are exactly what I hear from my high schooler, that, you know, these, they're not seen as something that's harmful. It's, you know, if something smells like bubblegum, why would you think that it could harm you? And there's also this mystique of it's something that kids can sort of get away with in school because the devices are so small. They look like USBs. They will put them in their shirt sleeves and do it in class and take videos of themselves doing that sort of thing. And so from an enforcement perspective, it's a real challenge for schools to get on top of because the devices are so hard to find.
Is it also, too, though, that I would think that teachers, administrators, even parents don't understand how addictive this is and frankly, how bad it is?
That is absolutely correct. People are not aware of these products. In fact, they don't even realize when a young person has something plugged into their computer or into the walls to be charging, that's probably an electronic cigarette. They're really not aware of this. And what's really scary is the original vaping products, e-cigarette products that came out more around, well, in around 2007, but really became popular around 2014. They didn't have as much nicotine, but the products have equivalent to 1.5 to 2 packs of cigarettes per pod or per container of each of these. So youth don't know that, and parents certainly don't know that. And that's a big issue right now as well.
And then when you talk about it being an aerosol, how is that different than a traditional cigarette and it going into your body?
Right. It's actually not that different.
Okay.
A lot of people think it is. The big thing is it's not burning like a cigarette does. It doesn't have tar. That is true. But it has a lot of the same chemicals, and you're still inhaling hot tobacco, or excuse me, hot nicotine. You're also inhaling propylene glycol, glycerin, benzoic acid, other chemicals that you would find that are also found in cigarettes that is very harmful. Not only that, now with the flavors, which we didn't have as much with the cigarettes, but with flavors, you can take a chocolate chip, or you can take a chip and chew it or eat it when it's at room temperature, but these are not meant to be heated at high temperatures and inhaled into your lungs. Mm. So we're starting to see lung disease, and we're starting to see respiratory issues from young people who are using these products just simply because of the flavorants that are in there.
This is crazy. I mean, there's so much information out there that I feel like we don't know about. And Corey, are you seeing that when, at St. Alphonsus? And is it from parents? Is it from kids? What's the conversation like?
Well, you know, we have very active tobacco cessation programs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think through those we do hear about, and, you know, the e-cigarette and vape manufacturers have sort of marketed these devices as a cessation tool as mm-hmm. well.
Right.
And, you know, Dr. Halpern-Felscher would be more suited to talk to, you know, relative harm mm-hmm. of the two and, you know, the efficacy of actually using these things as a step-down device from tobacco. So we do hear what we hear from adults who have been smoking for years. They started in their teens and they wish they had never started. And now they're struggling with trying to quit. And they see young people trying these new products. And then we see what I've heard from school resource officers is that kids will start with vapes. And then when the vape juice becomes too expensive, that kind of thing, they'll transition to traditional cigarettes.
Because it's addictive.
Yes. And so what we see from the hospital perspective, we hear from adults that look at this and think, whoa, you know, do people really know what's coming at them in terms of an addiction that you are starting in your teens when, yeah, you know, kids try risky things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And with this, I think the risk of it really is beyond their understanding because they are so new. The evidence, I don't think, has been shared widely. It's starting to be very concerning in terms of the health risks. But they've been out such a short period of time mm-hmm. that, you know, it takes a while for the evidence to really show.
And one of the things to be aware of in terms of this harm reduction, first of all, there are absolutely not only the local level but national numbers showing that youth who started with electronic cigarettes have moved on to cigarettes. Not all, but you're about four times more likely. And if you look at some of the national data, you'll see that cigarettes certainly went down, and then the last year you'll see a blip up. Mm. And the thinking is it's because youth are going from e-cigarettes to cigarettes. The other thing is I'm asked that harm reduction question all the time. Well, isn't it less harmful? Well, a few things. First of all, with youth, it's not e-cigarettes versus cigarettes. They were, as you were saying earlier, never going to use a cigarette mm-hmm. before. So it's really e-cigarettes versus nothing with them or some other thing we haven't even thought of
right,
yet in
right.
the world. So for youth, that's really the wrong comparison that a lot of people are trying to make. And given some of the research to come out more recently, I'm not even sure that that's even the right comparison because e-cigarettes are just about as harmful mm-hmm. right now in some of the data we're seeing, but we don't know the long-term effects. The other piece is people say, well, okay, so the national numbers of cigarettes have gone down because of e-cigarettes, and that is absolutely not true. And then the final piece of the adults that, you know, well, if you take away vapes, if you limit them, if you regulate them, then what about adults attempt to quit smoking cigarettes, mm-hmm. which certainly is everybody's goal. But there's no evidence at all that they will be successful quitting cigarettes by using e-cigarettes. The only good study to come out just a few weeks ago was a very controlled trial with adults who absolutely were seeking treatment, and it was combined with cognitive behavioral therapy, not open market e-cigarettes that they just happened to pick up and hope that they would quit smoking. So there's so many arguments against the harm reduction that really, it all comes down mm-hmm. to vapes being a problem.
I'm speaking with Dr. Bonnie Halpern-Felscher. She is a developmental psychologist and a professor of pediatrics at Stanford, as well as Corby Serber, director of advocacy for St. Alphonsus Hospital. And Dr. Halpern-Felscher, let's talk about the developing brain of kids and teens. How does that play into this issue? Because as we know, in this day and age, the frontal lobe isn't even fully developed until our mid-20s. So it's hard to even think long-term, right?
Right, right.
How does that play into all of this?
Well, it's a very good question. And the biggest issue, as you said, is that youth's brains are developing until about 25, 26. And that's exciting. Really what it means is as that's happening, as you're pruning away parts of the brain and synapses that you don't need, so connections, neural connections mm-hmm. that you just don't need you're pruning those away and you're basically what's called myelinating or creating a sheath to make faster connections amongst the connections that you do need. That's all great. It means that you can learn so much as a young person during that time. The problem is that whatever you introduce into your body at that time, basically the brain says, ooh, I have a place for this. And rather than prune away that part of the brain, I'm going to keep it because you've now introduced something to me. So in the case of nicotine, you introduce nicotine prior to age 25, 26. And basically what happens is your brain grabs onto it. We have nicotinic receptors already in our brain. And the brain says, ooh, I recognize these. I'm going to go ahead and grab on and now make a place. It changes the brain. It actually changes the brain chemistry. I'm going to make a place for these nicotine pieces into my brain. And now I want more. And so if you wait, you are much less likely to get addicted.
In your opinion, is this a national health crisis or are we all going down that path?
I think we are in a national health crisis. I think with the products, the devices we have, the large amount of nicotine that's in them, and the appeal to youth, and the numbers we're seeing of youth using, we have data showing at least 30% of adolescents and young adults are using them on a regular basis, and that they're addicted. It is a very concerning time.
What should lawmakers be doing? What should parents be doing? Because my understanding is that with a traditional cigarette, you have to be 18. To purchase a cigarette. Is that not the case with e-cigarettes, at least in Idaho, Corey?
Yeah, so the law is set at age 18, and that's for both tobacco products and e-cigarettes. What we have been doing locally is trying to move that age up to age 21. There's a large coalition of organizations that has been working over the past 3 years. We've gone to the legislature twice with efforts to raise the age, and we've sort of come to the point where we have realized that maybe raising the age isn't the policy lever that we can successfully move. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of legislators that are interested in doing something on vapes and e-cigarettes. And so our goal today is to provide some education to them and maybe some guidance on policies that work. I know some of the angles that they're looking at would include taxing e-cigarettes and vapes at some parity with tobacco products, and then looking at the retailing side of it and maybe putting more restrictions on the retailers. So those are some of the things that are being looked at. But, you know, Dr. Halpern Felscher is an expert in some of those policy angles, from looking at flavors to taxing to other other policy levers we can move. And we're just trying to advance the conversation and see what direction Idaho would like to go. Because it does seem like there's concern among lawmakers, but it's just taking a little time to figure out what specifically are we going to do that's going to make a difference.
And hopefully having more conversations so that as parents and as community members, we understand what this is.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, education is a lot of this because young people don't know. And also parents and teachers and advocates aren't aware of the harms involved in it. So we do need to do that. And then we do need to look at some of these local and federal policies that can really hopefully shift this epidemic.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today. My guest today, Corey Serber, Director of Advocacy for St. Alphonsus, as well as Dr. Bonnie Halpern Felscher. She is a developmental psychologist and a professor of pediatrics at Stanford. Thank you both for the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma.